I know I speak for Pastor Mike and Kim and Heather when I say thank you, not only for the recognition, but for being faithful to the Lord. Thank you for letting us serve you. It's a privilege to serve you as your pastors and families, and we do appreciate that so much. And I can tell you without hesitation or reservation, you really need to thank my wife and Heather. I tell you what, and I do appreciate y'all thanking them, but pray for them, remember them, because certainly they do far more. You know, the role of a pastor is kind of a public role. The role of a pastor's wife, not so public, but certainly so significant, so significant. I just appreciate your showing them some love and praying for them as well. Remember that at the end of the hour, as I mentioned earlier, we will be voting on the 2019 budget. And it's interesting, when you vote on a budget, a lot of people think that, well, this is like a democratic process, so we've got to vote on the budget to adopt it. And there is a legal thing there. We vote on it because the IRS says the church votes on it in conference, and that's what makes it happen in reality, and it makes it approved. But as believers in Christ, biblically, why are we doing that? Well, we're doing that because when you say yes to the 2019 budget, you are saying yes to, this is what God wants us to do. You're saying, yes, I believe that that God wants us to enact these ministries and to facilitate these ministries through this budget, this kind of stewardship, this look of stewardship, and you're saying, I'll take responsibility for it. That's what you're saying. So take it seriously. Pray about it. If you haven't already, be sure that you do, because you're saying, yes, God, this is what you want me to participate in. And when I say yes, I'm taking responsibility for my part of that, and we as a church are taking responsibility for enacting that budget. And that's what tithing is all about. That's what tithing is all about. And the Bible teaches that tithing, that is giving a 10% of our best back to God, including stewardship of finances, giving 10% of our best, that tithe is an obligation to God, and it's an indication of our obedience to God. It's something God tells us to do. So if we refuse to do it, we're being disobedient. And when we do it, we're being obedient to God, and we get to see God use our 10% and multiply that and use it in ministry along with everyone else that's participating. But you know, in the American church today, a lot of people don't really understand that tithing is a spiritual principle. It's participating in obedience with God. And the truth is that most Christians in the American church are not tithers. We're tippers. Yeah. We don't really plan to give 10%. There's no strategy behind it. What we do is we show up, and then that offering plate comes around, and we think to ourselves, well, yeah, this was pretty good. I'll give them $5. That's kind of incremental obedience. We'll call it obedience, but it's incremental. It's not strategic. It's not intentional. It's just kind of incremental. It's now and then, depending on how I feel and how the morning went, and I might, do I have any money with me? I didn't plan for this. It's that kind of thing. But obedience in a lifestyle is strategic, and it's intentional. It's saying, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to participate in the outcome, so I plan for that. I plan for that. That's why tithing is part of a lifestyle, and tipping tends to be sporadic and unintentional. Let me give you another example. Because what we're going to talk about this morning is how the Bible teaches that our relationship to God is indicated by our obedience and how we obey God. This past week, the police in Lincoln, Nebraska, pulled over a woman who was speeding. In a 75-mile-an-hour zone, she was going 92 miles an hour. Her name is Chantal Wilson, and Ms. Wilson was pulled over. And she stopped obediently. She pulled over. She paused, and they walked up, and they cited her for speeding 92 miles an hour in a 75-mile-an-hour zone. And then they walked away. And when they walked away, she sped out again in her Mustang, and the next time they caught up with her, she was doing 140-plus miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. For her, that pause was incremental obedience. I have no choice, so for a minute, I will accept their authority. But once we're done, I'm out of here. And the law, the commands, the instructions make no real difference in my life, but for a moment, I'll pause. That's the way a lot of people who believe they are Christians and call themselves Christians treat obedience. And the pause most of us experience is Sunday morning. Sunday morning we say, okay, well, it's a duty. If I'm going to call myself a Christian, I need to go to church. So I'm going to pause for a minute, do that thing, and once that's over, I'm out of here. God's happy, I did my part, and I'll live however I please. So in truth, your lifestyle shows no obedience at all. It's just an incremental pause in which you acknowledge his authority, and you, let's be honest, pretend to be a Christian. We're in a message series in which we're asking and answering the question, can you know, or how can you know, that you're a Christian? And the Bible says, yes, you absolutely can know. And the New Testament book of 1 John is written in response to that. John, the disciple of Jesus, the one of the original 12 followers of Christ, wrote this letter to Christians who asked the same question. How can I be sure? Because some people were telling them, well, you're not really a Christian if you're not doing this, this, and this. And you're not really a Christian if you don't believe this, this, and this. But they had trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were depending on the grace of God. And you have to remember, when you read the New Testament, all of this is brand new. No one had tried to explain this before until Jesus came along, then the apostles came along after him, and they explained what it meant to be a Christian. So in the letter of 1 John in the New Testament, John the apostle answers that question vividly, and he over 30 times uses the word know. Yes, you can know, K-N-O-W. You can know that you're born again in Christ. Remember, in this series, that's our definition of being a Christian. Our definition is the biblical definition that being a Christian means you have been born again in Jesus Christ. You have repented of your sins and trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior. And we can distinguish between that and the person who says they are a Christian, but their life doesn't show it. And the indicators we see in 1 John do not show up in the life of the person who says they're a Christian when in truth they're a churchgoer, a Christian in name only. But these indicators are there so that God will use them to examine our lives this morning and after this morning. And we'll be honest with God and say, God, I don't think that indicator's in my life. I don't think I've ever been born again. Maybe you've been going to church all your life. You may have even joined the church. You may have even been baptized. But there's no change in your life. No indicator to say, yes, God changed me. I have been born again, a new creature in Christ, and forgiven of my sins. So as I've said before, one of the primary reasons for this series is so we'll take a hard look at ourselves and we'll be honest with God, because you may find out through this series that all this time you thought you were born again. In fact, you're just a churchgoer. You're a Christian on the outside, incrementally obeying God, but there's been no lifestyle change. And if that's the case, you need to be honest with God and trust Christ as your Savior to be changed and born again in Christ. But it also is designed to be an encouragement for those of you who know, for those of us who know that we trusted Christ as our Savior, but now and then things just don't go our way. And now and then maybe we don't behave very Christianly, and we see the old stuff in our lives, and all of that's happening. Now and then we need to be reminded, yes, we are born again, and God's still working. He is still working, and we should participate with him to do that. As Miss Jane said in the children's message so wonderfully this morning, it'll show in your life. Who you are will show in your life. And that's John's point in the book of 1 John. So this morning we come to the next indicator. And the next indicator is that you are growing in obedience to Christ. Obedience to Christ and to the Word of God is an indicator. Doesn't mean that you're perfectly obedient, but that you desire to be obedient and you are growing in that obedience to Christ. The only one person on planet Earth was ever perfectly obedient to God and the Word of God, and that was Christ himself. But as we'll see again this morning, our desire, our effort, and our joy is to be obedient to the Word of God, to be like Christ, and to show that in our lives, which is an indicator we have been born again. So if you have your Bible with you, find again the book of 1 John, this time chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, and look there with me. As John continues answering the question, how can I know that I'm a Christian? How can I know that I've been born again? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, John says, this is how we know that we know him. Now, let me pause here and tell you, this is one of the New Testament ways of saying that you're born again in Christ, is that you know him. You know God and you know Christ. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. Literally, that's being made complete. This is how we know that we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. That is, just as Jesus walked. His lifestyle should show it, because he's acting more and more like Christ every day. Look at verse 3 again. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. Over and over again, John uses that word know, K-N-O-W. This time, he's using a Greek word that we translate as know, a Greek word that means know by experience. It means it's an ongoing learning experience. He said, this is how we have come to know by experience, that we are coming to know by experience, that we know him. We know him more and more by experience, if we keep his commands. Very simply put, obeying God leads to knowing God better, which leads to more obedience. You grow in obedience because you have a desire to obey him. And more that shows in your life. And as it shows in your life, it is a primary indicator that you're born again in Christ. Because you are growing in the knowledge of God as you grow in obedience, keeping his commands. Now, the word translated commands is a word threaded all throughout the Bible, and what it very literally refers to is God's instructions. It always refers to the Word of God, but it's his instructions, and there's an imperative to it. That's why it's translated as commands. It's something we do, something we are told to do, that God wants us to do. We follow those instructions. And the following those instructions is the definition of obedience. God says to do it, we do it. It's just that simple. And we do that out of relationship, out of our faith in him, out of our love for him. But we obey his commands, and by obeying his commands, we know him better. And the more we obey, the better we know God, and the more we demonstrate that we have been born again in Christ. It's a growing experience that begins with the desire to obey his instruction and his command. That outward expression of your relationship with God in your obedience could not be more significant. Because now and then, you might ask someone, hey, are you a Christian? Oh, well, I feel like a Christian. I was born in America, so I must be a Christian. I'm a member of First Baptist Church, so doesn't that make me a Christian, even though I haven't been there in 37 years? Maybe that makes me a Christian. Like, my mother was a Christian, so I must be a Christian too. All kinds of answers. John says, ignore those, because you can know. You can know. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how often you go to church or whether you do or not. Even though you should, it's not about that. It's not about whether you serve on a committee, walk down an aisle, or got wet. It's about this. Do you know that you're knowing God more and more because you're obeying God? You're breaking open his word. You're learning his instructions. You're growing in a loving relationship with him. Let's break this down a bit more in what John says. Because John directly connects, as does all the Bible, John directly connects your obedience with your relationship with God. That's why it's an indication. Your obedience is an indicator that you've been born again in Christ. You have a relationship with God. It's directly connected to that relationship. Let's see what John means. First of all, John teaches that the lack of obedience signals a lack of relationship. The lack of obedience signals a lack of relationship. But he uses very strong terminology to say this. Verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him, which is again Bible vernacular for I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I have come to know him. And yet doesn't keep his commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Pay attention to that. John is saying every person who walks in the church on Sunday morning and says, yes, I'm a Christian, but does not live by the commands of God is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. Why? Because for the truth to be in that person, the Word of God is the truth, Jesus Christ is the truth, he had to have actually been born again. And a person can say all day long, oh yeah, I've come to know him. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But if their life doesn't show it, John doesn't soft sell it at all. If their life doesn't show it, they're a liar. They're just a liar. They're deceiving themselves and they're deceiving you. Because the truth is not in them, he says. Now, the key to understand this is it hinges on the desire to obey. The person who's born again in Christ might falter in obedience, and we do. In fact, probably frequently. But we desire to obey. We desire to know God's word. We desire to apply God's word. And the more we trust God and apply his word, the more we grow in obedience. There is a desire to know him. But the person who lacks that desire also lacks obedience. They might be a churchgoer. They might be religious. But they lack an actual desire to have a relationship with God that's demonstrated by obedience. So for them, it's all outward expression. And in truth, it's a refusal to do what God wants. It's a refusal to get into God's word. One of the indicators that John also brings out later in 1 John is a love for God's word. You just love his word. You love those commands. But the person who's never been born again thinks that's crazy. Why would I love the Bible? They might own a Bible and never open it, hardly ever open it. Might bring it to church even, but they don't know it. But the person who's been born again that desires to be obedient, they are seeking God's instruction. Even if they're fallible in how they obey, they want to obey. And that's the defining mark here. So that lack of obedience that signals a lack of relationship, the core of that is a lack of desire to obey God at all, to do what God says. That's a clear indication that you have not been born again. If you live your life in absence of any reference to God's word, except when you're in church, you need to question whether or not you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior. Because if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, he lives in you and he loves his word. And he will direct you to his word. He will remind you of his word. You'll be sitting in church just like this, sitting in a Bible study, sitting in car listening to the radio. The Bible is talked about and taught, and suddenly you realize God's applying that to your life. That's what happens to a born-again believer. To the person in here right now who's a churchgoer but not born again, what you're thinking about is how soon is Pastor Bob going to quit? Honestly, you need to think seriously. Think seriously about what God's speaking to you right now and whether or not you've ever been born again. The lack of obedience signals a lack of relationship. But second, John says, the desire for obedience builds a loving relationship. The desire for obedience builds a loving relationship. This is where most of us are as believers in Christ, and it's the right place to be. We desire to obey, and by that desire to obey, we build that relationship, and it's a loving relationship. The Bible teaches God wants to have a love relationship with you and you with him. John was sitting there when Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Think about that. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And now John writes that the person who is growing in Christ and obeying Christ, John says in verse 5, whoever keeps his word truly in him, the love of God is made complete. The phrase made complete means accomplishes its purpose. When we obey, anytime we obey anyone, we have three motivations for obedience. And if you're a parent, you'll recognize this in raising children. There are three motivations to obey. The first motivation is that we have to. I have to do what they say because they're my parent or because they're in charge or because they're in authority. I have to do what they say, so I will do what they say. I might do it begrudgingly, but I have to do it. That's the duty side of obedience. It's a burden on your life, but I have to do it. The second stage of obedience is I need to obey because I get something out of it. I need to obey because I get something out of it. Now, the first version is where most people are who are churchgoers but not born again. There's that incremental obedience. I have to do this Like the hour you're in church is serving your time every week. I have to do this. I have to fulfill my duty, and then I'm out of here to do what I want to do. I have to obey. The next version, I need to obey, is in truth where most believers are, and a lot of unbelievers yet, but where a lot of believers are in Christ. I need to obey to get what I want. Sadly, we are taught that. We are taught that on television. We're taught that in books. We're taught that on the internet. Scholars and theologians call it a transactional relationship with God. That is to say, in your mind you think, when you came to Christ, you entered a transaction with Him, that if you did ABC, God would do ABC. If you did this, God would do that, and it's a transaction. So if stuff doesn't work out the way you want, it confuses you. And you obey God because you need to get what you want. Sadly, that's where most Christians are today, and that's where they park their lives. They don't grow much beyond that because it's constantly, unfortunately, driven into us that God has some obligation to do this, this, and this as long as we do this, this, and this. He's the great big Santa in the sky. So a lot of people obey out of duty. I do it because I have to. A lot of people obey because they need to. To get what I want, I will do this and this. That's usually why you obey at work. I want a paycheck. That's what I'll do. But like I say, sadly, that's how many of us view God. What the Bible wants us to do is get past those. And what God wants us to do is get past those to the third motivation for obedience. I obey because I want to. Not because I have to, not out of burden, not out of duty, not even because I need to get something from God. I obey because I want to, and I want to because God says that's how I love Him. I love Him back by obeying His commands. And what John means in the verse we just read is when you start doing that, the love of God is made complete in you. You will suddenly realize you love other people the way Christ does. Not because you have to, not because of what you get out of it, because you need to, but because God does. Because now you love God the way He loves you, and you love other people the way God loves you. How does God love you? Because He has to? No. Because He needs to? Absolutely not. God loves you because He wants to. And we are motivated to love like Christ loves. We are motivated out of an obedience to obey God because we want to. Why is that? Because it builds that loving relationship. We start realizing more and more, the more we obey, the more we grow and experience God's love. It's not about what we get out of it, it's about our relationship with God. And we grow in that relationship. And we experience His power in our lives. And we see our life changing to love people we never thought we could love. We see Him using us in service. We see the more we obey His commands and His instructions and His word, the more our love for Him grows as well. Hold your place in 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bible still open, flip over to 1 John chapter 5 for a moment in verse 2. As John is considering the contrast between obeying because you have to out of duty and obeying because you want to out of love, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, listen to what John says. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey His commands. Okay, there it is again. Love and obedience go together. For this is what love for God is, to keep His commands. That's it. That's how you love God. And listen to this. And His commands are not a burden. Now, wait a minute. Most of us think obeying God's commands is burdensome. No, it's not. You see, that's that view that I obey because I have to, that's the burden. The view that I'm doing it out of duty, that's the burden. But when you come into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ and you start loving Him back through your obedience to His commands, that's not a burden, that's a joy. That is liberating. In Matthew chapter 11, and John was there when Jesus said this. This is where he gets it from. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. for I will give you rest. Who is he talking to? You know who he's talking to? Religious people. Because religion out of duty will wear you out. Being a churchgoer out of duty will wear you out. And Jesus said to everybody there, come to me. What you need is a personal relationship with me. And then he said, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Doing what I say doesn't burden you. It shows God's love for you, and it's how you love God back. If you are a born-again believer in Christ, your obedience may not be perfect, but you're growing in obedience. You might falter, even fail now and then. Maybe you don't read your Bible every day, but you desire to. Maybe you're not obedient in everything God says, but you want to be. Because you want to build that loving relationship with Him. You want to move from, I obey because I need to I obey because I want to. I want to show God I love Him. So I'm going to read His Word. And when I have a decision to make, I'm going to explore the Bible. When I'm struggling in relationships, I'm going to go to the Proverbs and find out how to control my anger. And I'm going to ask God to help me do that. When I need to be gentle with people, I'm going to ask God to help me do that. And on you return to the Word of God, because there you find that obeying God's Word and knowing God's Word grows you in that love relationship with God. So the first two ways it shows in that relationship. The first one is the lack of the relationship. It shows in the lack of obedience. The second one is in a loving relationship, your desire to obey builds that relationship. So then third, John says, the result of obedience is an abiding relationship. You're growing, and as you come into that relationship and you grow in that relationship, you do what the Bible calls and what John calls abiding in Christ or remaining in Christ. This is how we know we are in Him, he says in verse 5. Then look at verse 6. The one who says he remains in Him, that's the word abide, literally abides in Him, will walk just as Jesus walked. The one who remains in Him will walk just as Jesus walked. So your relationship is growing out of obedience and your life starts showing it. And remember from last week, to walk is to show your lifestyle. That's the biblical terminology for how you're living. The choices you make, the values you have, the relationships you choose, and your walk in Christ will demonstrate that Christ is in your life by your obedience to His Word. And you begin an abiding relationship with Christ that grows and grows. Now that term abiding may sound odd to our 21st century ears. Even saying remaining in Him sounds a little odd, even though we understand you remain in what you want to do and you leave what you don't want to do. So we remain, we abide, we live in Him. And that's the best way to look at it. Look at it this way. Let's pretend for a moment that you're a plant. And a loving family got you from Lowe's. And they took you home and they planted you as a little plant in their flower beds. And you take root. And by taking root, you get nourishment and you get growth. And you start to make friends with the other plants. That part just came to mind. But you're in the soil and you grow because you're drawing your nutrition. You're drawing your very life from where you planted yourself. Again, John was present when Jesus talked about this very thing. And he reports it in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, where Jesus talks about, He is the vine, you're the branches. You plant yourself in Him. That's where your life is. That's where your nutrition is. That's how you grow. And that's what it means to abide in Christ. And it all starts in that loving, obedient relationship with Christ. When you enter into that relationship, you're not entering into a transaction or a contract with God. You're entering into a relationship, a personal relationship with your loving Lord Jesus who starts to change you, who calls you to obedience, who helps you understand His Word. And the more you understand, excuse me, and the more you obey, the more that love relationship deepens and the more you abide in Him. You get your strength from Him. You get your understanding from Him. You get your perspective on the world from Him. You build fellowship with other people like you who also want to obey and love the Lord in obedience. It all starts with asking yourself that question, letting God speak to your heart now, because He is. He's either telling you that you're growing in Christ, that you've been in His Word, and you see that in your heart, you're abiding, you're obeying, and you're growing, or He's telling you, well, we've had some falters, we've had some stumbles, but you desire it, and you're going to grow, and you want to be there, and you want to obey, but maybe God needs to sift some things out of your life. Or God is telling you, you're not born again in Christ. And all this pretending to be a Christian is all on the outside. And it's time to be born again and stop pretending. Last Sunday, when my wife and I got home from church, I pulled into the driveway and heard a dog barking in our backyard. But we don't have a dog in our backyard. We used to, but don't right now. So there's a surprise. So I went in and went in the backyard, and there was this wonderful old boxer in our backyard. Now, we have a fenced-in backyard because we used to have the dogs back there, but not him. But there he is, and he's over on one side of the fence where he can see the road, and he's just barking, burr, 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 at the road. It sounded good, didn't it? And you're all going, wow, that sounded just like a boxer. So I went outside, and he came around to the garage when I stepped out of the garage door and kind of introduced himself. Then he ran off again, so I kind of had to go where he was, and he came back over, and I finally got a hold of his tag. And when I did, he leaned against me, and I'm petting him, and he's slobbering, and we're just having a great time. I'm reading this tag, thinking, why do we have a dog, an accidental dog in our backyard? And turns out, as I read the tag, that he belonged to a family whose street number was the same as ours, just a different street. So evidently, he had gotten out somehow, been running around, and some good neighbor saw him near our house and thought, well, that must be their dog. They got a fenced-in backyard. They've had dogs before. They got a dog door into the garage. I'll just put him in there. We actually have no idea who put the dog in our fence. We still don't know who put the dog in our fenced-in backyard. And I flipped over to the other side of the tag, and his name was Marcellus. What a great name for a box. Isn't that great? Marcellus. You know? It's like when he was younger, he was Roman or something, you know? So I called the number on the tag, and then I waited for the family to come and get him. And I just stood there where I could see the driveway. Now, here's what Marcellus did. Now, I'm standing on one end of the fence where I can see the driveway. Marcellus is on the other end of the fence, all the way down here. He can't see the driveway, but he can see the road, and he's just barking at the road. Out at the road. And I'm down here. So I started calling him. Marcellus, come. And he kind of looks around the bush. And I saw a little, Marcellus, come, boy. So he finally relents, and he comes trotting down to where I am, and he rubs against me, and I pet him, and I'm talking to him, and he goes back. And he starts barking over there, and I call him, and he come back. When he came, he just kind of rubbed against me, wanted to be petted, and he liked that and everything, and then he drank some water, and then he went back, and we did this until his family showed up. And when his family showed up and he saw them where I saw them, his whole attitude changed. Even his bark changed. He was so excited. That's my family. And his body was wagging because he didn't have a tail, but his body was wagging, and he was excited. Here's his family, and the kids come, and open the gate, and they get Marcellus, and who just immediately obeys them, and he goes home with the family that he loves. When he had to obey me because I kept calling, he obeyed out of duty because he had to. When he came to me, he stayed with me because he got something he wanted. He got scratched. So he obeyed because he needed to get the outcome he wanted. But when his family showed up, he obeyed out of love. He just wanted to go home. He knew who he belonged to, and they knew him. And there was a complete change in his countenance because their relationship, his obedience to them, was based on their love relationship. He had grown up with them. He knew them. That's my family. I get to go home. Do you see the difference? Where are you in your relationship with God? If you're like most of us, you need to let God answer that question for you. And if you're not born again in Christ, today is the day. Today is the day to be honest with God and say, God, I've been a churchgoer. I've been doing stuff, but I don't know you, and I haven't been obedient the other 6 days a week, let alone when I leave church at 12 o'clock. I want a relationship with God. And you're a believer in Christ, and maybe God is showing you some areas you need to change. He wants to work on. Or maybe you've been just obeying when you thought you'd get something you needed, but it's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to love God and obey God because you want to, not because you have to, and not because you need to, but because you want to, and the reason you want to is because He loves you. He loves you. So love Him back. Read His Word. Do what He says. Make a fresh commitment today to loving God through being obedient to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how good and patient You are toward us, because even as we sit in this room with this many people, Father, we are here today, and we know we have some very disobedient folks right here. There are folks, God, that maybe we've been disobedient to You, maybe we've been obeying out of duty or trying to get what we want from You. God, forgive us for that. But show us, Father, what You want to change in our lives. I pray, God, that our goal would be toward growing in Christ to maturity, becoming the person who obeys You and loves You because we want to. Father, how I pray for that one who needs Christ as their Savior. I pray for the pretender. I pray for the one, God, that this word has struck home to them more than anyone else, because they know they've been a churchgoer, but they've never been born again in Christ. You're showing them that. God, how I pray today they trust Christ as their Savior. I pray for the believer, God, that's been wandering around a bit trying to figure out what to do, that You'd bring them back to You, to Your Word. You'd remind them, God, that You'll show them what to do. You'll guide them in what to do. You'll love on them as they go, even when they falter and stumble. But as long as our desire to obey You grows, God, that loving relationship will grow as well. I pray for us, God, that our goal would be to abide in Christ, to flourish in Christ, to get our nutrition, our power, our strength, our wisdom, our very lives in our relationship with Christ. So God, I pray today as we respond to You, Father, You would lead us in our response. Again, God, that we would give our lives to Christ, that we'd make fresh commitments to You, that we would commit ourselves to Your Word, to Your commands, and to obedience and faith today. I pray for that one who needs to join fellowship with First Baptist Church. May this be the day, God, we take that step of faith and to join fellowship with this family of faith. I pray for that one who has trusted Christ as their Savior but needs to be baptized, that they'd follow through in believer's baptism and make that commitment today as well. And God, whatever other commitments we need to make, whatever we need to come to the altar and pray about, Father, I pray we'd be faithful to You to do just that. That when we leave this place, God, we'll know we've been changed by You and by our fresh obedience to You. And it's in Jesus' name we